on the road to healthcare.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. President Obama is facing some challenges to his ambitious health care overhaul from Congress, so he's visiting supporters outside the nation's capital to muster up some momentum. Today, he'll fly to Green Bay, Wisconsin, to talk directly with voters about his proposals to spend more than $1.5 trillion over the next decade to cover uninsured Americans. The head of Bank of America faces a fresh grilling before a congressional panel today. Kenneth Lewis has been under fire from stockholders who complain that he failed to disclose the depth of Merrill Lynch's financial troubles when B of A took over the brokerage late last year. Here's our senior business correspondent, Bob Moon.
It's beginning to sound like the U.S. government's efforts to head off a global financial collapse last September had all the markings of a scene from Mission Impossible.
The secretary will disavow all knowledge of your actions.
Kenneth Lewis suggests that kind of scenario in testimony he's prepared for lawmakers today. The B of A chief claims former Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson and Fed Chief Ben Bernanke pressured him to go through with the deal for Merrill Lynch. Lewis says he had serious second thoughts over what he now calls significant accelerating losses at the brokerage. Secretary Paulson has said he left it up to Lewis whether to disclose his doubts to B of A investors. What lawmakers want to know is why then did Lewis sign off on the deal with this kind of enthusiastic pitch to his stockholders?
This was a unique opportunity to acquire a high-quality company that will not only greatly enhance our long-term prospects, but truly creates a firm that is unparalleled in the industry.
Emails turned up by congressional investigators, as reported by the Wall Street Journal, appear to support Lewis's claim that he felt pressured by top government officials to put the best face on the deal. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
European markets are slightly higher right now. The FTSE's flat right now. On Wall Street, stocks lost a little ground. The S&P and NASDAQ gave back about a third of a percent. The Dow lost about a quarter of a percent to close at 87.39. Asian markets closed mixed. The Nikkei and Hang Seng barely going anywhere today. Yesterday, we got word that from the Fed, that the recession may be easing. The so-called Beige Book survey snapshot of economic conditions found some signs of stability and the recession loosening its stronghold on the economy. And that's the question we keep hearing. Where does the recession sit right now? And will there be a recovery that includes people getting back to work? We'll get another glimpse into the answer for that latter question when the latest initial jobless claims report comes out today. Economics correspondent Chris Farrell joins us now, wondering if the hallmark of a transition from recession to recovery will be an anemic job market. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
So what about all this talk about the recession winding down?
Oh, I think the recession is winding down. And most notably, Paul Krugman, Nobel laureate, New York Times economist, he says, look, when the dating committee at the National Bureau of Economic Research says the recession ended, they'll look back and they'll say it was sometime in the summer.
Yeah, well, if it's over, Chris, then what about this unemployment report we got last week? You know, 9.4% unemployment. That's big.
Well, the unemployment number really matters to all of us for obvious reasons. But it's what economists call a lagging indicator that's one of the last things to improve as the economy comes out of recession and enters into this recovery. So I got another number for you to focus on. It deals with employment, but it's a leading indicator.
What's that?
It's the initial unemployment claims. And this is the American workers get handed a pink slip. They go down to the unemployment office and they file claims for jobless benefits. And the good news here is that the initial unemployment claims number has been trending down since mid-March. And what that signals is that companies are starting to say, times are getting better. I'm going to keep this workforce that I have. Oh, by the way, I'm going to work them a little harder.
So wouldn't it be harder then to look at these leading economic indicators? You've got to put a little more thought into it as opposed to these doom and gloom numbers, such as the unemployment report that came out last week.
That's right. And by the way, with any economic number, you can't make too much of any one week or any one month. So when you're looking at the initial unemployment claims, just as you said, you're looking at the trend. I mean, this has been going on for mid-March. So you don't look at any one week. You look at the trend.
So in the end, Chris, how do these numbers serve us?
Two ways. One, the recession is bottoming out and there's a recovery that is forming. Secondly, it is going to be a long time before jobs are created. I think this is going to be another jobless recovery. And therefore, everyone who's listening to this has to be prepared for a jobless recovery, not a recovery that will generate a lot of employment.
All right. Economics correspondent Chris Farrell joining us. And we can hear you on Marketplace Money, too.
That's right. And we'll have more thoughts about how what's happening in the economy is affecting your wallet.
Thanks, Chris.
Thanks.
Job market got you down, or maybe you're thriving during this recession. Share your thoughts with us at marketplace.org.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Trusted Choice, over 10,000 independent insurance agencies across America committed to treating customers as people, not policies. Online at trustedchoice.com. By Monsanto, committed to sustainable agriculture, creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields and conserve natural resources. Produce more, conservemore.com. And by CSX, working to reduce traffic and pollution while moving 750,000 tons of freight daily. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
Finally, IndyCar driver Danica Patrick is reportedly negotiating a switch of her driving allegiance to NASCAR. It would be a bigger stage for Patrick and a big coup for stock car racing, Joel Rose reports.
Danica Patrick is the first woman to win an IndyCar event, but she's at least as well known for her exploits off the track, like a series of racy commercials for GoDaddy.com.
Miss Patrick?
Yes, I've enhanced.
Miss Patrick?
It's true. I've enhanced my image with a domain name and a website.
NASCAR officials may be hoping Patrick will enhance their image, too. Larry DeGaris teaches sports marketing at the University of Indianapolis. He says after a decline in ratings and attendance this year, NASCAR could use Patrick's star power more than ever.
If you can bring more big-name sponsors on board who are going to put money behind leveraging their relationship with Danica, that's good for the sport on several levels.
Marketing executives say Patrick could bring millions of dollars in new sponsorships. I'm Joel Rose for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, where cars never move, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.